IRK, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Georges. It's a pleasure meeting you.
Would you like to briefly introduce yourself and your role at the Recognize for those who might hear about Recognize for the first time?
Sure. My name is R.K. Anand. I'm a co-founder and the chief product officer of Recognize Incorporated. Recognize is a Silicon Valley and Munich, so I would say U.S. and Europe, a bicontinental company. We are venture-funded and strategic automotive-funded, and our investors are on the venture side are Great Point Ventures that led Series A round, and then Celesta Capital that led the Series B round. In addition to that, we have Mayfield, also as a venture investor. On the automotive strategic investors, we have Toyota Ventures, BMW iVentures, Faurecia, Flux Unit, Bosch, and Continental as investors. We've raised almost $75 million, $74.8 million over Series A and Series B. We are a fully, we are a silicon plus systems company. Our silicon teams are here in California, and our system platform team is here, and our AI team is out in Munich, Germany. So so that allows us to be bicontinental in nature, but also execute across multiple dimensions on engineering and product development.
Thank you so much. And I think you mentioned the investors or the investment arms from multiple OEMs, tier ones that validate the protocol direction that your company is doing. Can you share a few details about your role, the management of the product? I think that is going to be quite helpful.
Sure. So till October last year, actually, I was the founding CEO of the company, and I led the fundraising for the company internally. But in October, I stepped away from the CEO role, and we had an interim CEO, and we are in the process of looking for a new CEO. So in that process, I switched to a more a product-oriented focus because we were engineering, from an engineering perspective, we were executing really well, but I want to make sure focus on product market fit was in place, and customer acquisition focus needed was needed, because startups go through these phases of R&D and technology development, and then there's the go-to-market element that has to requires laser focus. So I'm currently focused on that, and so that is my primary role in terms of guiding the engineering team, or working with the product team, and getting customer guidance as we shape our product for the customers and for the markets.
And also, we want to understand what differentiates Recognize. I understand that a lot of your solutions are focused on the need for very high computational power and also low type of consumption. So, but on your own words, can you explain to us where do you see exactly this gap, specifically in the, on the side of automotive autonomous driving that is a core area, and what is the maturity of the solutions right now or in the future that you believe that can address these challenges?
So, George, it's a very good question. So if you look at it, the progression both on ADAS and autonomous vehicles has been very good in the industry broadly, but they're still seriously hampered from the true promise of true autonomy and exceptional safety. This is a function of not of technology being available. So we have to give credit to the industry that they've had to make do with whatever technologies they were available, and there were some innovations obviously along the way, but there's still some limitations. One of the primary elements for anything that is autonomous is that it has to have exceptional perception. Perception is the foundation on which the superstructure of autonomous driving or ADAS is built. Why? Because we live in a three-dimensional world, and in the three-dimensional world, you have to perceive well before you move a physical object in that world. And the primary and critical way that nature has evolved and we all function is visually. We assume ambient lighting conditions, or day or night or whatever, and we perceive the world three-dimensionally. And that is by corollary and by implementation, that's the way we expect that the autonomous systems will function visually. So for visual comprehension, cameras is the way that we build technologies. If you look at the modern day vehicles that are trying to do ADAS and AV, they still drive around with 1.5 or 2 megapixel cameras. And in our pockets are 8 and 12 and 20 megapixel cameras. So it's not because of the lack of sensors that we are not putting these high resolution, high frame rate sensors in the car. It's because of compute. The compute constraint is because as you increase resolution and frame rate, the compute needs increase non-linearly. So when they go from 1 to 2 to 4 to 8 megapixels, the compute increases don't go by a factor from 1 to 8 megapixels, one by a factor of 8, but they actually increase significantly more. Power is a big challenge in vehicles. So our premise for Recogni was that we need to solve fundamental compute problems in vehicles for AI, for AI inference. And if you do that really well, where you deliver incredibly high performance and incredibly low power, then you are unshackling the industry from staying at low resolution and low frame rate cameras and getting the frame rates high. Why is that important? Because AI, by its definition, for inference, requires enough information to infer what it sees. And the way we define information for AI in perception and in driving is number of pixels. So the more the pixels that represent an object far away, say a traffic light at 150, 200 meters, the more likely that the AI system will perceive it and say, I recognize a light. Versus if it is represented by a single pixel, it doesn't mean anything. It could be a traffic light, it could be a lamppost, it could be somebody's headlights, it could be anything. But if you have adequate number of pixels, then shape and conformity now lets the AI machine comprehend what it is. So the more the pixels, the better the resolution, the more likely that the AI inference for objects, for things that are around the vehicle, get better. So our purpose was to build compute that's an order of magnitude better than anybody in the world. We have that. We have a petaop chip that's at least 8, maybe 10x better than anything else in the industry, and at a power number that's lower than the industry's leading devices. So a combination of that allows us now to comprehend and do perception that's getting close to real human perception. We are very unforgiving of machines. Autonomous vehicles cannot make mistakes. A single Tesla accident becomes the news. In the US, over 120 people die a day in car accidents. It's not the news. But a single Tesla accident becomes the news. So we need to make sure that these systems, these computational platforms, function flawlessly because we are unforgiving of machines. And so perception has to become as close to flawless. The other is there's this notion that perception can be less or not as good for ADAS or for NCAP and can be better, needs to be better for level 3 or higher. That's a false premise. A human being, a pedestrian, is equally important for an ADAS vehicle as an L2 plus or L3 or L4 vehicle. Another vehicle, an object in the middle of the road, is equally important in all of these conditions. So the notion that you can put inexpensive, lower performing perception for ADAS is just misplaced. So our view is with our technology now, we can solve for all of these things and give you the same quality of perception, whether it's an inexpensive mass market ADAS vehicle or an L2 plus or L4 vehicle.
For Euro NCAP, usually requirements have to do with, you know, object detection at specific, NCAP is not even mandatory, but of course a lot of car makers do that in Europe. Also, for L3 regulation, redundancy is a bit of an issue. Do you see those aspects playing a big importance on the execution or on your product fitment decisions?
One of the advantages of our architecture is that we were able to optimize our design for very low power. And there's a direct correlation between a low power device and its costs because it's a smaller chip. So we believe that we can be cost competitive from the lowest end to the highest end. Now, you will put more of our devices because the number of cameras go up to 8 or 12 in an L3, L4 vehicle versus in an ADAS vehicle, you have fewer cameras. That's just a pure ratio rule of the number of devices that need to go. But to your question, you know, where do we see the most opportunities? So for a moment, let's look at how the industry is bifurcated. The level four companies, Cruise and Waymo and Zoox and others, have had a cost is no object approach to their sensor structures and compute platforms. They say, we will take a $30,000 sedan, electric sedan, like a Chevy Bolt, and we'll put $100,000 worth of equipment on top of it because we want to take the driver out of the vehicle. So that approach maybe works for them. But the problem with that is that they have a fleet of 200 cars. So the rate of learning of how these vehicles function in these constrained 25 miles per hour or 40 kilometers per hour fixed streets is one way to do it. The other way to do it is the approach Tesla has taken, which is to mass market a certain set of capabilities, overpromise and underdeliver again and again. You know, FSD next year. But you have a platform where you are now have a fleet of half a million, a million, maybe even getting to 2 million drivers, where they're enabling these features. Then there's either a misprediction or a lane change effect that doesn't take effect. That information goes back to the autopilot team at Tesla, and they iterate. And they send driving function updates to vehicles. So a bottom-up approach, a top-down approach. We have no religion on either approach, but we think that our technology is applicable to both. Now, there is certainly, you know, if you look at the industry, there's this, there's traditionalists and there's new people. The new people like Tesla, they will update driving functions in their vehicle every 2 weeks. And then the traditionalists will update infotainment functions in your vehicle every few weeks or every few months, but they will not touch the driving functions. So if you want a driving function change, you better take your car to the workshop. So that mindset on risk versus reward is hard for some of traditional automotives. So we don't take a position on either one of those things. We say, listen, our technology gives you a step function set of capabilities. Obviously, we are a startup. We are not a big established companies. But unless you have a best of breed approach to solving this autonomous challenge, and you are otherwise trying to generalize with lowest common denominator, you will never get to compete. So let's take a large mass market car company that sells 5 million or 10 million cars a year. And if they want to catch up with a Tesla, a traditional approach of let me put some features, then let me sell 100,000 vehicles, you are not going to learn at the pace that Tesla is learning, and you will not catch up at any point in the near future. You obviously cannot put $100,000 of equipment on a $30,000 vehicle. So you actually have to have a different way to think about it and say, I'm going to pick the best of breed technologies for me to get that advantage because I'm at a disadvantage today. So that thinking takes a little bit of work for us as a startup, for them as OEMs to work through, but we hope that'll happen. We are in the journey to make that happen.
That funding is in place. Also, you mentioned that I suppose, partnerships with players might be there. Would you be able to share some milestones?
Most definitely. We have the world's highest performing AI inference device at the edge for vision processing. We are the first petaOp device in the world for AI inference processing. So that gives you a sense that we have not only built the chip, built the software, but have a functioning system that operates at a petaOp at a very low power, at 25 watts. So if you look at a metric, an important metric across the industry is what's the maximum performance, usable TOPS in a vehicle, in the compute, and what's the ratio of TOPS per watt. We are at least 40 to 50x TOPS per watt better than anybody else in the industry. That is an important marker, but absolute compute also matters, and we have that too. So we have a functioning chip, we have a functioning system, we have systems in customer hands that are right now testing, right? Perception, right? Object detection or semantic segmentation features are being tested. So we have a high degree of confidence that we have the basic building blocks and elements to enable our customers. to achieve higher and higher levels of autonomy and autonomous capability. So we are on the right path. This is can be achieved because we have a very strong multidisciplinary team. We have a chip team that has an average experience of 25 plus years. We have an embedded and software team that has the same level of experience of 20 to 25 years of experience. We have an AI team that's young, because AI is a young science, that's very capable across core AI architecture, but also perception algorithms and perception networks. So a combination across these disciplines is really important for a company like us. Because if you have only one strength in one discipline, that's insufficient. So it's in all of these disciplines are necessary and sufficient for a comprehensive solution approach. So these competencies, as a startup, you're able to attract the talent. You know, AI talent likes to go where they're compensated really well, and they have difficult and really interesting problems to solve. And that is the advantage a startup has, like us. It's very difficult for a traditional automotive OEM to be able to attract either chip design, because which is not their skill set. They have not done chips. They always buy it from NXP or Renesas or others. They've been buying chips, typically in more control functions, but not an AI automotive device, right? So that innovation and the ability to hire the right kind of talent gives us those advantages.
Can you help us understand when you see series production or when you see the first type of vehicles that might be fitted with this type of solution, even if it's, you know, an expectation right now and not necessarily in stock?
So, yeah, we are certainly looking forward to low volume production deployments by Q1, Q2, 2023. Mm-hmm. And it'll be with a trucking customer. So in terms of roadmap, right, two, three things. One is obviously a startup cannot be a single product company. So we obviously are already working on our next generation chips and system thinking, right? And we're architecting those things. So that we will continue to do as part of the progress. In terms of customer acquisition, it's important to understand how our chip and system gets integrated with the rest of the compute platform in a vehicle, with the sensor platforms. So that's the work we're doing with first customers. So that integration process is happening. It'll happen over the next many months as we get into the first production in Q1, Q2, 2023. Similarly with automotive customers, first of all, you know, it's perfectly understandable for OEMs to be skeptical of a startup, right? And say, okay, what is your technology? And you know, for a long time till we had our chip and system, we had only PowerPoint slides and we were saying we are architecting the system. Obviously our backgrounds of a lot of our leadership is from companies like Sun, Microsystems, Intel, Cisco, Juniper, Silicon Graphics. So we have the background in building high performance systems. So, but ultimately what they care about is does the product work? So we are in the process and we are showing them the product. If you have a moment, I can have Angela send a PDF of what's called a microprocessor report. It's a well-known, well-robust silicon and compute platform analyst that analyzes various companies, NVIDIA, Qualcomm, everybody else. And they've done an analysis on us. That shows you that there's fundamental innovations and fundamental technology advantages that we bring to bear to the marketplace. Ultimately, the proof of the pudding is when we are in a vehicle and when the vehicle actually functions better than the others. And that's the work we have in front of us for the next year and a half. So take this technology. We have a functioning system. We have confidence. We know it works. We have to now enable our customers to succeed. And that's what we are doing.
What is your biggest challenge? It might be technological, it might be commercial, on getting this at the stage that you are getting this to allow you to progress to the next stage that is moving towards a higher scale.
So, you know, the car companies have specific calendars for startup production and their schedules and commitments. So they are obviously in different stages for different years making decisions. And so it's important for us as a company to make sure we hit those milestones and schedules for delivery for customers. So we are doing that. When they evaluate us, we are a small team. So we can quickly get overwhelmed by a big OEM or a big tier one. So we have to make sure that we are very thoughtful in as they select us and we select them in those partnerships, because we need to support them from an engineering point of view as they evaluate and test our products. We need to scale our go-to-market teams, which is our focus right now, so that we can have resident engineers, application engineers at the customer sites. So those are the big challenges for us. I think the technical hurdles, we have a competent team that can overcome those. And the integration with customers, other compute platforms and sensor platforms is, I think, in our capability, in our wheelhouse. The bigger challenge is that for a lot of us, we don't have automotive experience. And so making sure that we are complementing our technical teams with the right people who have automotive market experience is our focus for the next many months. I think that's our major challenge. And this is where, you know, we can make sure we are thoughtful in our recruiting, thoughtful in complementing the skills so we can actually do that.
Thank you so much, RK, for all your insights and for giving us a very, very good update of where Recognize right now, what is the goal. And I wish you all the success and good luck for the next steps of your company.
Thank you, Georges. It was a pleasure talking to you. And thank you, Angela.